If loving Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my fancy.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not... No, that's not...
Wait.
Yeah, that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it!
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy, okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Stairs on the songs with the show, and till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm a liar, better mode in. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded him. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side floor. Goose to get large, so many more. 10 in the more, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the more, 2 to the P. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever. Cute as can be, you can watch this on YouTube and view it for free. This one time for the Twitch, this one time for the text, this one time for the phone line, whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Hello, Leroy.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I am shocked that you're in, being that you were in Miami last night.
Yeah.
I'm shocked too, bro.
Why?
And I turned on the radio because I was in the car.
Yeah.
I said, let me see what these two knuckleheads are talking about because there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
And at 9 o'clock, I hear something else. So let me ask you.
Yeah.
Who made the executive order for y'all to leave?
Who made the order? Nobody made the order. We said we were going till 9. That was our cutoff.
So you did.
No. I mean, it wasn't an order though. Like we discussed it. We're like, well, right. How long? Because we had to say like they had
the
commercial.
The pick wasn't even up yet.
They had Yeah, but who cares? It's not. They're not picking.
I know.
Like, he's not staying.
That's my
there.
Point.
We were like, what? We were like 4 picks away, something like that. Yeah. I was listening to it on ESPN Radio. So like all the Michigan guys. I watched Merez Johnson go, and then as I got in my car, Lindenborg went. And then Mara went, like the whole Dusty May crew went on the run. And then they finally got to the Heat's pick. But I was like, yeah, I didn't feel any necessity to stick around for pick 13 of who
are the Heat. Our first one on pick was Giannis.
I was like, oh, they're actually announcing that he's getting traded. I don't feel like they ever do that because they said it was funny. I was listening to ESPN Radio's coverage and they like said during the interview they gave the kid finally his Bucks hat while he was there. Because they came up before pick 14, and they announced that Nate Ament was, is that his name? I even forget, am I saying
Ament.
It
right? Yeah.
That his rights had been traded to Milwaukee for a trade to be in the future. So, right. But it was kind of like, it was, Solana said it was weird. I thought it was fun, because it was almost like we were the only ones there, because everybody in the Heat, they can't talk about it. In fact, to the point where like they have been told you can't talk about it. You know, the Heat are like an army at times. Like the orders are out and nobody says anything.
The message gets out and there's nothing you could do. That message comes from the top.
Right.
And everybody sticks with it in the organization.
But you know me, I'm a rascal. So I'm gonna give people the look and I'm gonna try and get some things out of them. But there were certain guys I knew not to mess with, but I was like, hey, big day, huh? Glorious day. And they're like, it is a glorious day. I said, okay, good day. So Solana and I were like the only guys there openly talking about the idea that the Heat had traded Giannis. But the fans were so excited. Like, you know, we had so many fans come up to us. They're buzzing. They're having a great time. And it was actually funny because one of the things that we brought up on the show is, well, where is Giannis? Where the hell is he? And wouldn't you know it? Like, as soon as I get home. He's with Bam. He's in Las Vegas. He went to the Aces game last night. That would be the natural place to go.
Uncle. He can't say nothing, but everybody else in the world.
Everybody else can.
Yeah.
Everybody else can say something except for the Heat and the Bucks. You know?
So I watched some of the draft, and one of the things that I compare with the NFL draft and is really different is I find in basketball you'll take a player that you feel is the best player available more than position because of where we are in basketball right now.
Sure.
And case in point, is Milwaukee going to keep Tyler?
Don't know.
They kept drafting guards.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that. Right?
Guess what, Leroy? It's not your problem.
I know Tyler.
No, I know. But I do the same thing with in the NFL draft. Is right. That
it was funny.
Sometimes when guys draft out of need, they don't always get the best player.
Like
and, and in basketball, it seems like we like this guy. We're taking him. We'll figure it
out. Yeah, some guys don't care. Like Philly. Philly's taken a shooting guard, it feels like, the last five drafts. Like, they took LeBaron Filan last night. I was like, you guys already have two awesome guards. You just traded Jared McCain because you don't need a guard. But they have a new GM now, and Filan's awesome, and they're just like, we're just going to take the best player. I don't care if he's built like a toothpick.
Right. It's like with Milwaukee, they kept saying, why in the hell are they –
right.
They need a replacement for Giannis or somebody to play that position. Why do they keep drafting guards?
In the 4 minutes I did draft prep, which I gave up like 10 days ago.
Wait. Listen, not for nothing. But the happiest man on earth, he had all of his papers and whatever. And the Giannis trade came out. He goes,
No. You weren't watching his YouTube channel. Everybody, go subscribe to Tovin's YouTube channel. Like, comment. He was petrified. He was so happy that Monday night happened. Woo-hoo! That trade happened, because he's like, I'm still waiting. I was still holding out that there was a trade, so I don't have to study none of these guys. I could get through it, but I was going to have to start studying like right after the show.
Right. I was in Cranba. The guy, like, I felt bad last night. We had Brady Hawk on. He swung by and he goes, and Brady, you know, he's very young. He's very ambitious, and he's done draft prep and film work on all of these guys. And I feel like, you know what? I'm sure it's good for you. You're coming in super informed on the rookie class. That's probably what a professional should do, but an older Tobin needs to, you know, I'm in a lot of ways, I got to pick my spots. You know, I can't go out there just throwing haymakers every round. And so I got somewhere along after I looked up a Daimara, and I'm like, you know, this is boring to me right now. I feel like I'm not even going to use any of this information. So somewhere along the way, I was just like, I'm stopping my draft prep. I looked up like six guys. I was excited for like the first three. And then I got kind of like numb to it, because you know what? It's kind of like everybody says these guys are good. They're, you know, you can see the flaws. But I will say, in my 4 minutes of draft prep, it was the top four guys. Everybody knew who they were going to be. And then it was a huge run of guards and the Michigan big guys. Like, that was the draft.
Right.
That was the entire draft. It was,
right.
You know, so I will be interested today, because I feel like, you know, the Heat have pick 41, and I mean, like, that's their playpen. Like, they usually are good about finding somebody like this, and I got to figure
what position you think they'll go. Guard?
Shooter. Just shooter. Most intangibles, pure shooter there is. Whoever the hell they could find who could just light it up. Because we had Wayne Ellington on last night, and
Can he still play?
He's very confident. He's like,
shooters, I tell you what, you can say a lot about basketball players, but a shooter gonna talk trash about shooting till the end of time.
And so, like, I asked him yesterday, I said, hey, can you tell a guy who can shoot and a guy they've developed into a shooter? Like, do you just got it? And he goes, I said, like, similar to like power punching, like, do you just got it? And he goes, yeah, he's like, some guys just got it. They just got that touch. And they're like, Wayne Ellington's got one of those shots. And they would have him, like, during the season. Like, he's working with, like, some of the young, like, Trevor Keels. You know, a guy who, like, hit 12 threes in a G League game. He's going to be along these guys. But that's going to be, like, his thing in Las Vegas. And probably right now, as soon as they get the pick, is, like, who can we get around these two guys that is going to shoot the lights out? Right. And that's gonna be his big project. So I think they got the perfect guy to coach the summer league team this year, even with them having no first round pick guys anymore.
It's weird, because I would say it's a lot easier to teach a natural shooter than it is to teach a guy how to shoot, right? Because there's a lot of guys that, for example, Ball. what's his name? Not Lonzo, but the
LaMelo.
LaMelo. Mm-hmm. He's got a weird shot.
He does have a weird shot.
But he gets hot, right? And so I don't know how you go about a guy like that. Do you look at him as just, he's just a scorer and he makes shots?
He just plays, he doesn't even play basketball. He plays like carnival games. It's crazy.
Like, right. When you look at a guy like Dunks, Dunks looks like a prototypical shooter.
Yep.
Toby, you owe LaMelo Ball an apology.
Why?
If he doesn't hit injure Bam,
yep,
you win the play-in. Mm-hmm. If you win the play-in, you don't have the 13th pick. Mm-hmm. If you don't have the 13th pick, you can't make the trade.
No, I'm not apologizing to him. He's reckless. He's a danger.
He's a danger.
He can't grab people's ankles, Vlad.
And his recklessness is the reason why you had the 13th pick in order for you to make this trade.
Well, listen, you're giving the Heat a lot of credit to figure they would have still won that play-in game even with Bam. But I understand what you're saying. I get your theory.
Hey, confidence was low, Vlad. Real low at that moment, regardless of who was playing. Go ahead.
Dade Sav says, I was wondering if they got Kashad in trouble because he mentioned Giannis. Yeah, that was the thing that I found ridiculous. Players don't play those. Players don't have those rules. That, like, I don't know why that's a thing. I think it's just because, like, they just get paranoid. Players can talk about this stuff. They don't.
You know why the team can't talk about it? Because the trade isn't official until the league year.
Yeah.
And if you do anything before the league year,
But players can talk about whatever they want.
Like, and guys haven't passed their physicals. Like, Schmeaton is right. Tyler Hero has not passed his physical.
Yeah, we don't
Hero's
know.
Hero's not going to pass his physical.
We don't
well,
know.
That's not a good thing, Leroy, because if he doesn't pass his physical, this trade is done.
They're like,
Oh, yeah, because that's the biggest money match.
Something tells me that they've had Tyler Hero's medicals for a while. They've,
you know what's
they've
crazy?
Known he was going to be in the trade.
But
I don't know.
But think
next bone might come out
about
of nowhere.
Think about the Ravens. Right, and I said this to you when they traded for Hendricks,
mm-hmm.
Crosby,
Crosby, yeah, Max yeah. Crosby, yeah, yeah.
He had just had surgery, so they knew they could get out of it.
Right,
right. That's the crazy thing about this. Now you look at the Tyler Hero situation, kind of the same situation with the additional surgery on the foot, and they're like, "No, we want to trade Giannis," so he'll mysteriously pass his physical.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
It's a weird thing.
I'm not worried about that. I think everybody's cool.
Right. It's like, yeah, we want the trade. We don't want to deal with it anymore. Like, okay,
Leroy's got that tough internet today, huh?
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah, frozen in time. Headlines, those are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or Doral Volkswagen. .com. We'll get into a little bit of this coming up because a big moment last night for the Marlins. They beat the Rangers 6-4. Sandy, he becomes the all-time franchise leader in strikeouts. Great moment for him. In the World Cup yesterday, Portugal defeated Uzbekistan 5-0.
Ronaldo, baby.
Ronaldo scored twice. He screamed at the camera, "I'm back." England and Ghana played to a 0-0 draw. Croatia topped Portugal 1-0, and Colombia beat the Congo 1-0.
Marlins play real early today.
They do. They're up at noon. They're up at noon.
Sleepy Nooner.
Ayori's on the hill today. So we'll be reacting to that in real time, and we got a full slate of World Cup games as well. Quickly, I'll give you some weather. And that's brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting, replacing roof repairs, maintenance, hurricane impact, windows, and doors. Visit tornadoroofing.com. And currently right now in Miami, 87 degrees, feels like 93. Still have those air quality alerts going on because of the fires and thunderstorms expected around 5 p.m. today. So that's what we
typical
got going.
Summer day.
Typical summer day. We'll take a break.
5 o'clock.
More to come. We're back after this. FBG says, woke up feeling like we back, baby. Everybody has a pep in their step, dude. I'm telling you. There were certain people I saw yesterday who have been around that organization for a long time. And the smile on their face. I'm like, yeah, good for you, dude. Good for everybody. The vibes were high last night at the Kaseya Center. I was asking
I'm interested to see how they play together. I know they'll figure it out.
Me too.
And I'm just curious that you know, because they can switch up, you know. And I know you really don't want Giannis shooting a whole bunch of threes, but he can make them.
He was
and I think Bam, he can just expand his game even more.
It's going to be interesting, but they're going to be two monsters in the paint. Obviously, they got stuff they got to figure out around them. We got to figure out the rest of the roster, but I do think them as a duo going to be piranhas on defense. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and very, very excited. You know, seeing some of the renovations last night to the arena as well. I'm like, well, this couldn't have timed out more perfect for them with making some improvements, especially in the luxury areas.
You think there's going to be a lot of more Greek restaurants along Bayside?
Should be. They should open
all
it
you
up.
Need is a trailer. All you need is the truck, the Euro truck. That's it.
But yeah, I was going to ask you, Vlad, because you were boots on the ground yesterday in Fort Lauderdale for Brady Tkachuk's press conference.
At the War Memorial.
What was that like? How did that go?
It was great. It was just that, you could tell that he was so happy, bro. He was so happy.
Yeah.
He's just so happy that he's, you know, he's part of this organization. And, but everything's great, but there's one more thing you're just still waiting for to happen. Yeah. Once that happens, I think that will relieve everybody's stress, especially one particular individual.
Yep.
Once that happens, then everything's good.
Once
the goalie situation is finalized, it's good. But they are excited. Almost similar to the way the Heat are excited right now after the Giannis trade. It's like, okay, we were quiet. We were dormant. We had to take this year off. We had to, you know, Barkley got hurt, but we're coming back in 27, and we're coming back with some vengeance.
Well, I think they're all fired up because of the way Alexander Barkov played in the Worlds. Like, he looked every bit himself for Finland. I mean, that was and honestly, it's funny because they didn't have him for the Olympics. It would have been a funny, interesting.
Oh, no, Finland would have been in the medal round.
Yeah, I think so. I think they would have. And the idea that they got to have they didn't have their captain for the most important, and man, he was waiting for that for so long. So that was part of the cool thing of this year, but certainly part of that storyline. You want to talk about things of good fortune, like the Heat getting Bam hurt in the play-in. Part of good fortune probably was Barkley being hurt to get the ninth pick, and then also both Tkachuk brothers being like, "Hey, us winning gold here, this is incredible. We need to push to make this happen even more," because part of the dynamic that has been interesting, and a lot of people are talking about this, is that all of the American stars who play for Canada, it was
They're
a little
hated.
Dicey for them right now.
They're hated.
It was Austin Matthews, Hellebuck, Brady Tkachuk, and they're all kind of in an awkward spot of like, you know, Canada's kind of mad at us that we had this, and obviously partying with the Prez, who's not had the greatest things to say about the 51st state that he's trying to that he's been teasing with, and all that stuff did not go over well with the fan base.
They hated the fact that these Americans who just won a gold medal, instead of going immediately right back to their respective teams, came down to South Florida, to 11. And enjoyed themselves. And from there on, there's been a back and forth between the media and those American players, the Canadian media and those American players, to the point where you could tell, like, immediately after the Olympics, they were already asking, do you want to be a senator? Do you want to be a Maple Leaf much longer? All this, and they questioning because they beat Canada in the Olympic gold medal game, and it bothered everyone in that country.
Miami Sports.
And you know what's crazy?
What?
If it had gone the other way, Americans wouldn't have felt like that.
No.
Right? They would have been like, oh, we got some of the best players in the world on our team.
Yeah, I think you know what it is. I mean, like, that's their game. You know, like, they're crazy. They're psychotic about it, Leroy.
No, I know.
Look what we see. What we're seeing down here, like, as I'm leaving the arena last night, I almost ran over, like, an army of Scots that are just taking over Miami. I'm like,
it wouldn't affect them.
get up, little Bruce. Somebody was on Twitter eating a pub sub.
Oh, really?
Did he love it?
Yeah, they said, they told me to try this Publix Pub Sub chicken tenders. And he's tried it. He's like, this thing is delicious. It's crazy.
Dude, it's been insane seeing how. It's
like, I have never, like, and I know soccer's big around the world, but if you look at South Beach with Brazil and Scotland, it is unlike anything we have ever seen on South Beach.
Who's better?
It's crazy.
Who's better partying? Europeans or the South Americans?
I mean, if we're just talking drinking,
it's got to be the Europeans.
I would say the Europeans. If we're going to talk dancing and drinking, dances, I mean, you're going to go with South America,
Too
Latin
many
America.
Tangibles in the Europeans.
Like,
to have rhythm.
Like the difference is Scotland go drink out all your bars, right?
Damn. Yeah,
and the Latinos and the South Americans are going to have a drum, and they all going to be dancing,
and they're going to make up songs,
right?
You know. That's going to be the place that they go. But no, it looked I'm sure tonight's going to be a crazy atmosphere at Miami, whatever the hell they're calling it, stadium, not Hard Rock Stadium. But that versus Brazil tonight, that's going to be a vibe. That's going to be
insane. The cheapest ticket is $3,000.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, not awesome.
You mean that's awesome?
He said, "You know why you said that, Vlad? He ain't going.
I'm not going." Remember we had the guys crawling through the vents to try and get into the stadium?
Oh, my goodness.
That was crazy, dude. That was insane to see that kind of thing.
Hey, Big Ross, man. You got to give Boss Ross credit, man.
Yeah,
he don't have nothing to do with
he's
it.
He's making mad money this year. He had the national title game this year.
But it's different, Vlad.
And he's got the World Cup.
They basically leased the stadium to FIFA.
I get it, but like...
So they don't have nothing, that's why they can't call it Hard Rock.
Right, but I mean, they had to give...
I'm sure
they probably had to give some money.
They had to pay a good amount of money for
But what I'm just saying is, the talk about him not having a Super Bowl, well, that's the reason why he doesn't have to host a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he has everything else.
F1.
Tennis.
National championship.
He probably just made at least $4 billion just off all these events alone, minimum.
Right,
he can go buy another grass farm, whatever he wants, dude. Well, speaking of, the world's biggest soccer tournament is here, and you can trade the entire tournament on Kalshi. On Kalshi, you can trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. Today, we do have Scotland against Brazil. Brazil is trading at 75% to win, but 52% to win by more than a goal and a half. So a $100 trade there pays $186. If you think the Scots can play to a draw, that's trading at 18%. So a $100 trade pays out at $525. If you think they can pull the upset, that's trading at 10%. So just even a $10 trade gets you paid at $94. Shout out to the Tartan Army. Plus, we got the draft again tonight, day two in hoops. You guys can even trade who you think Miami will pick at 41. On Kalshi, you're trading against your peers in a live market, meaning there's no house and the probabilities change. You can buy in or out of your position. And for a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use the code Tobin to get $10 when you trade 10. Kalshi, Kalshi, trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only, restrictions, eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory. All right, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. I was just speaking to the Utes, Leroy. I was speaking to the Utes. Yeah, we got a broadcast camp in here. The Jason Taylor Foundation is swinging by, and I was giving my professional advice to them. You know, professional.
Oh my goodness!
You know, give them pass down the wisdom of how to become a radio star.
Did you give them any silly sauce?
Somewhat. You know, that's you got to keep it balanced. But I was just it's so much different if you want to break into this business. I think. These days than it was when I was coming up, and I was like, God, that makes me feel old. But I just think that, you know, man, kids and especially their age, like, they got so much stuff at their disposal as far as technology is concerned. You saw it with Fonz, like, how much they can just do, And so I just told him, like, you guys should start doing that stuff now. Figure out how to do it. You'll be ahead of the game. Like, there'll be stuff when you get to college that you certainly need to learn professionalism about how to weave through broadcasts and things like that. But you don't need to, like, I didn't get in front of a good professional mic till I was, you know, I did some of it at Barry, but like in a radio studio, I didn't get to do it till my senior year when I got the internship at 790. So people are always asking me like, oh, what do you do? I'm like, just start. Like, you got all of this stuff at your disposal that we didn't have. And you could get that stuff on Amazon, be in your house in 2 days.
Not me.
Well, yeah, not you. Not you, but, yeah, shout out to the kiddos, and enjoy their tour today as that goes on. We'll get back into the Heat coming on up. I know everybody's fired up about this, but I do want to give some love to the Sandman last night as Sandy Alcantara became the all-time franchise leader in strikeouts. If you guys missed it, I think this is the call here. This is the call on QAM last night as he passed Ricky Nolasco for the franchise leading in strikeouts.
1-2. Check swing. Did he go? Answer is yes. The franchise record belongs to El Caballo. 1,002. Sandy Alcantara is the new Marlins franchise record holder for strikeouts in a career.
Man, cool for him.
It's cool. I'm glad, you know, I think I'm happier that he's here long enough to do that.
Yes.
Because we really like Sandy. He has been a staple of the organization, regardless of who's been running it. And I think that is probably the most important thing, that we have somebody as fans that we can hang on to. You know, because a lot of guys have been in and out that we've liked. But he's been kind of one of the most consistent things, even through his injuries.
Those records are cool, too, because Sandy definitely has an argument. I would say a very strong argument to say he's the best pitcher in Marlins franchise history. He's the only one to win a Cy Young, though Dontrell Willis got screwed in 2005. It shouldn't have gone to Chris Carpenter. But other than that, he very arguably is the best pitcher in Marlins history. And it's no disrespect to Ricky Nolasco. Like, you know, listen, Ricky Nolasco and I would say a complex relationship. Like, I'd always feel like with Ricky Nolasco, I don't know how to explain Ricky Nolasco to people. Like, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't like,
wait, you put Ricky great. You put Ricky Nolasco over Josh Beckett?
No. What I'm saying is, for a guy like Ricky Nolasco to be on top of your leaderboard.
Oh, a strikeout, for strikeout.
As the strikeout leader.
Yeah.
It's just a little weird, Vlad. Like,
no, I got
you're
you.
You're looking back at it, you're like, wait, this is one of the most prominent statistics of pitching. The Marlins have had studs. Josh Johnson, Kevin Brown, Josh Beckett, Dontrell Willis, Jose Fernandez. And you're like, well, who's your strikeout leader? Ricky Nolasco. I'm like, that's odd.
Well, part of it is because the organization is so young, you haven't really had anybody to be around long enough before they traded him, right? Because, again, we could say there have been better pitchers, but how many of them have had as many opportunities as Ricky Nolasco?
Yeah, I mean, Ricky Nolasco wasn't here, like, forever, you know? It was just he was a strikeout pitcher. That was kind of his deal.
And Sandy really isn't.
No. Sandy's not. Sandy is right. Sandy's bread and butter is when he has like the two seamer going and he can ground out. Like, he can have those big games from time to time. But I was just like, I always look back and I'm like,
no, he's right though.
Ricky Nolasco being atop the Marlins franchise leaderboard, like,
it's weird because you've had Brad Penny, you've had AJ,
they've had some studs.
You've had guys who really could strike out batters, and then it's Ricky Nolasco.
Yeah, it's just like, and Ricky Nolasco again. It's not like Ricky Nolasco was a bum. He certainly wasn't. He was solid. He was mid. Yeah, every once in a while, like Ricky Nolasco could definitely go out there. He could win you a game. He could be on his game. But let me tell you something. When Ricky Nolasco was off his game, Meatball City. Like, if that curveball wasn't getting over, tell him, listen, I'll tell you, like, Ryan Howard killed the dude. I mean, some of the guys in that division, like, when they saw Ricky Nolasco, so many experience against Ricky Nolasco. And so, I don't know, I was just like, all right, I'm glad that Sandy has that throne now as the top guy in strikeouts.
You know, it'd be probably a better indication, and I would guess that maybe he wouldn't rank as high, strikeouts per nine innings, right? Because maybe he just pitched more than all these other guys. And so then that number gets skewed because, again, with all the guys you named and all the success you've seen some of these pitchers have, would you even put Ricky Nolasco in a top 10 of Marlins pitchers?
No, I don't think I would.
Right. And so that's how it gets kind of skewed, whereas you would say Sandy is up there.
Well, now he is up there. I mean, he's...
No, I'm saying as far as one of the best pitchers that the Marlins have had.
Yeah. No, I think that that's like part of the charm. And also, he had the Tommy John surgery, so I'm happy that he's gotten there. He's certainly been flirted in trade rumors for a long time. So I thought it was a cool moment yesterday.
Yeah.
And I didn't mean to turn this into a retrospect on Ricky Nolasco's career. I'm just saying it's just, it seemed odd. Like, you know, Ricky Nolasco. Ricky Nolasco.
Isn't that what sports talk is, though?
Is he
in
not?
In order to praise somebody, you got to kind of talk
crap on somebody else
about his contemporaries.
He might lead in wins, too. I think he might lead in wins. You know,
like, let me check this.
Because here's the thing, like, Ricky Nolasco pitched in an era where the Marlins had a really good offense, so they really could support him. You know, that those 07 through 10, like, those teams could hit. Those teams had some, with Hanley and Ugla and Cody. I think Cody Ross was Cody Ross there yesterday? I think I saw a video of Cody Ross there yesterday. Cody Ross was would drop bombs. Yeah. But anyway. We'll hear a little bit from Sandy here. Sandy, this was him on getting the win and the milestone. Here's what he had to say.
Tonight was a great night for me, you know, for my family, my teammates, you know, the city, everybody who watched the game. Very happy about the win, you know, so about, you know, we lost yesterday, but today I came here with mentality that I got to do my best to win the game, you know, and we did as a team.
Ricky Nolasco has 81 career wins. He's
number one.
I don't know if anybody's gonna catch him, to be honest with you. He's number one. Dontrell has 68. Sandy has 59 wins.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. Yo, Ricky has a lot of records for the Marlins.
I told you, dude. And that's the crazy thing is, like, you look back at the record books, you're like, man, this Ricky Nolasco was amazing. And I'm like, he was solid. Like, you know, you just, like, you'd be happy to have Ricky Nolasco is like your prototypical.
Damn, bro.
Prototypical third starter. You're just like, yeah. But at 1 year, he was our ace. At 1 year, Ricky Nolasco was our ace. I think, did he make one All-Star game? I think he made one.
Ricky Nolasco is number one in wins. He's number one in base on balls per nine innings pitch. Number one in innings pitch. Number one in hits given up. Number one on strikeouts and to walk ratio. Yeah.
So I just called, this is the Cal Ripken.
I mean, Josh Johnson got a lot of records here.
How many games did he pitch?
For the Marlins,
right?
He pitched. Let's see. Hold on, Baseball Reference. 229 games.
That's a lot.
Right. Started 212.
Right. That's a lot of games for a Marlins pitcher.
Six seasons. No, seven, because he was there when they went from Florida to Miami.
Conversely, how many has Sandy pitched?
Lovely Road thinks
so. He's not even to 200 yet.
Oh, and he came back again.
Did he come back for another stint?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I remember Brad Penny's second stint.
2013?
194.
So... He broke the record.
So probably like another. It's like another
30 with 35 less.
Yeah, and don't forget, yeah, because he missed a season. Like, essentially, that's missing right. Your Tommy John season. I don't think Ricky Nolasco never got hurt.
Right.
The charm of Ricky Nolasco. He was always out there. You hand him the ball any fifth day, Ricky Nolasco could give you six, and he could either give up six or give up three. You know, that's the way.
Right.
Would he shut your ass down? Nah, but he's gonna strike you out eight.
Right. I think that Sandy doing it in 35 less appearances.
Schmeathen has a
pretty special.
Schmeathen says he's the Xavier Restrepo of Marlins pitchers. I get what you, yeah, if you're talking like Michael Irvin, Andre Johnson, and you're like Xavier Rochelle.
I wanted to say that, but I didn't want to hurt Canes fans' feelings, but I was thinking the exact same thing because when you were mentioning the names, I'm like, that sounds like the Canes receivers.
A little bit, yeah. It's like, or Duke Johnson being like the all-time leading rusher when you're talking like Gore.
Oh, yeah, because they went to school 17 years and the other guys went two.
But Sandy yesterday, this was him on Clayton McCullough letting him go and get it in the seventh.
In the seventh inning, you know, the manager came to me and told me, hey, it's going to be a situation that, you know, so I got to make the decision, you know, and I understand that. But, you know, but yeah, since the first inning I was focused on get four more strikeouts, you know, so it took me long in the game to do it. You know, and finally I did it. You know, very happy the way that the manager believed myself, you know, and the way that we've been winning together.
Benny.
Hold up.
Hmm?
I want to call a little BS on Sandy.
Why?
Because you know nobody could come up to the mound and take you out of the game. And you say, I love the way the managers left it up to me. Every time they got to take Sandy in the game, they all look at each other. You going to go tell him? Nah, you the skipper. You go.
But you're the pitching coach.
Yeah.
You go right. Coach.
Right. Like, no, like if Sanders say he can go, he going. Which is another incredible thing is that, like, Sandy, you love that for a player on any team that you root for. I ain't going out. Right? So, yeah, it's cool for him. Because when you think of Marlins the last 4 or 5 years, the first thing that comes to mind is Sandy. That's it, Sandy. All the other guys have come and gone. Sandy's been the consistent. So for the fans to have him on top of a lot of these lists, and hopefully he gets to get more of them, right? As a fan, you really are happy for him. Now, it's crazy because Rickey Nolasco has 81 wins.
Yeah, he's got 81 wins. Sandy.
And that, you know, that's more of an indication how good the team was back then.
No, that's what I'm saying, though. Rickey Nolasco played in a loaded lineup. Like, Sandy, rare were the teams that had lineups like Rickey Nolasco had.
Right.
He, I'm like looking now, like, Rickey Nolasco also leads the Marlins in most home runs given up. But Sandy.
You know what that is? You know what I call that, Vlad? The Brett Favre.
But Sandy's second.
He had the most touchdowns and the most picks.
Well, time, Mom. If you
well, that's what, wait.
If you're the best pitcher, as many good things are going to happen. There's going to be some bad things. And it's right, you're probably going to lead
there.
It, right.
Because you're always out there.
Yeah, always out there. So they're going to.
If you pitch more innings and pitch more games.
Yeah, you're probably going to lead in walks. You're probably going to lead in giving up hits. You're probably going to lead in most home runs given up.
Right.
It comes with the territory.
This is Sandy on just getting the record. It means the world to him.
They take a couple seconds before, you know, to put the flyer on the screen, you know, but very grateful for the opportunity, you know. So especially, you know, like being the leader for this organization. As a young kid from the Dominican Republic, you know, started playing baseball when I was 5 years old, you know. So I played baseball for fun, you know. So but after, like, I realized that I can do a better life to my family if I, you know, keep getting better, you know, day by day, year by year, you know. So get opportunity to sign as a 16 years old in 2012, you know. So now being on the big leagues, especially in this organization, you know, so it's always great to me to come here, you know, and watch the logo out there, you know. So I'm very proud of the way this organization believe myself, you know, and they trust me, I trust them, you know. So year that we have like up and down, you know, but we gotta keep trust the process, you know. So and I'm here now, you know, being a franchise leader is always great for me, you know, and I feel blessed all the time.
What are you gonna do with the ball?
Keep it on my safe box, you know, so don't tell my brother I have a new ball. All right,
there you go. Sandy yesterday, now the all-time franchise leader in strikeouts. He also, by the way, passed Jose Fernandez for most wins at Lone Depot Park yesterday.
Nice. I love his. Yeah. I love the fact that his English is impeccable. It's very good.
Yeah. Done a lot on that. I would say for him, like, the thing that I love about him, that competitive you mentioned about it, like, he's just got that nastiness as far as, like, doesn't ever want to be taken out of a game. His Cy Young season was unprecedented with how deep he was going, especially in this era. It's unfortunate what happened with the Tommy John, but, like,
even now, he tries to go as deep as possible.
Yeah,
you think it has to do with he's had to pitch with some sketchy bullpens, and so he's like, oh, dude, I got to do this.
Yeah, listen, if he would have had a better bullpen, he would have passed Ricky Nolasco in wins already.
Right,
like that is the truth right there.
Sandy had more non-decisions. It's like, oh. We blew a Sandy night?
Yeah, crazy. So, great job by him. Awesome, yep. Awesome night for the Sandman, getting himself the franchise record. I think cementing himself probably is the best. Like, if we're going to go best, him, Jose, Josh Johnson, Kevin Brown, Josh Beckett.
Are you talking about all time?
All time.
You're not going to put Charlie Huff in?
No, I'm not putting Charlie Huff in. Smoking his cigarettes with a knuckleball.
Was he 46 when he
pitched? Hey, he pitched the first game at Lone Depot. At Pro Player. Was it called Pro Player at that time?
I think it was Joe Robbie back then.
I think it was JRS.
I think it was JRS
at that time.
Yeah. Schmeathan says Wei Yin Chen, of course.
Oh, we didn't love the Wei Yin Chen.
Wait, did Wei Yin Chen ever pitch? He got $80 million. I don't think they ever pitched him.
Dontrell, obviously. Dontrell's going to the Hall of Fame.
Marlins.
If we're going best, Sandy.
Oh, don't forget Al Leiter. Yeah.
All right, so Sandy, Dontrell.
Sandy, Dontrell.
Josh Beckett, Kevin Brown. Is that the Mount Rushmore? To steal from Hockman?
We gotta put Jose in there. We gotta put Jose.
Who's coming off? Kevin Brown? Champion.
Yeah, okay.
Levon? World Series MVP.
You gotta put somebody from the 97. It's gotta be Levon.
All right,
Levon could pitch. I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I said, you can give me 6 innings right now. He goes, yeah.
Dade Saff wants Alex Fernandez up there. This is too hard. There's been some good guys.
It's been some
good. You want to know who hasn't hit my list?
Who?
Ricky Nolasco.
Oh, that's messed up. You know what? I'm going to say something that's crazy. You got to pick between Beckett and Dontrell for the 203.
Wow.
You got to put 97. You got to put Levon. Levon's got to be there. He's got to be on your Mount
Rushmore. The thing with Josh Beckett is he's got, like, Josh Beckett's like Jimmy Butler. Josh Beckett is like, he's got the most iconic playoff run maybe ever because of what he did in the NLCS and what he did in the World Series. Regular season, he wasn't that special. Like, regular season, it was pissed off because of blisters all the time. His first complete game was in the NLCS.
But it didn't matter.
Dontrell.
The man pitched in 2 days.
I understand. But Dontrell did all that.
It was a run. It was an unbelievable wave.
I think if I have to pick one, I think I got to pick Dontrell. Josh, you could say, has one of the best championship performances ever in Miami history. But I think if I had to go splitting hairs, even if Josh is probably a better pitcher historically, I think I go Dontrell. I think I would lean Dontrell. Just because of what he did. Now, when the wheels fell off, and when he was kind of the throw-in into that Cabrera trade because they signed him to that big deal. So
it's Levon, Dontrell, Sandy,
Jose,
and Jose.
So it is said. So it is
written. I think
we could Ugeth Urbina in there if we had an extra.
Put him at number 6.
For his extra finger.
Put him at number 6. Ah. And just have him up there like this.
For an extra digit.
That was Alfonseca. Yeah. That wasn't Urbina.
I think it was Alfonseca. Yeah, it was Alfonseca.
Urbina's got
Didn't the Marlins have a stretch where they found a closer every year?
Oh, yeah.
Dude was on.
Joe Borowski, Todd Jones, Armando Benitez. They were on a run.
Right.
This guy says Jose Ureña made the list. Only if we're talking about pissing off Ronald Acuna. All right.
For patting him on the head.
We'll take a break. Get into the Miami Heat yesterday. Giannis and Bam meeting up in Sin City. We're back after this.